kind of an omen? Get it? Because of the movie? She laughs. I'm learning to read the signs. Clearly, I have a way to go. But now you're here, and I have a live-in translator. 24/7, dude deciphering service, I say, then take a bite of a delicious square of waffle. What about Henry? Will you see Mr. Peanut again? She shrugs. I don't know. He was nice, but there was no spark. I pump a virtual fist and rein in a wild grin. What does it take to get a second date with the inimitable Josie Hammer? I ask as I slice another chunk of waffle. Tell me, what is it that you're looking for in a man? The corner of her lips quirks up. I want what every woman wants. What's that? She cocks her head, gazes right into my eyes, licks her lips. The full package. I want the full package. Chapter 12. When we return to the apartment, I grab her sleek silver laptop from the wooden coffee table. It's late on Saturday, but I don't care. I'm off tomorrow, and so are you. There are no excuses. Show me. Let's see who's got you swiping right or whatever you call it on your dating site. I sink into our comfy couch, settling into one of the millions of pillows that have multiplied like bunnies thanks to Ms. Hammer's pillowphilia. She grabs a hair tie from the table and loops her light brown strands into a knot on her head. A few pieces fall around her face, framing her cheeks with pink strands. Her lips are glossy, and it occurs to me she must have reapplied lipstick at some point. Maybe when I made a pit stop in the little boy's room at the diner. I'm sure I would have noticed her slicking some on. I would have watched, liking the way she looked when her lips formed an O. I linger too long on that letter and all its delicious possibilities. How she'd look when her mouth fell open in pleasure when she called out my, "Shake it off, buddy." I remind myself of my special talent, separating feelings and thoughts. Because appreciating her lips doesn't mean I want to kiss them, and it doesn't mean I can't be her lookout. "You really want to see the guys?" she asks, parking herself next to me and tucking her feet underneath her. "Hell yeah." I can't let her be Damien'd again. I guarantee I would have been able to tell he was the kind of asshat who'd do that shit. No disrespect to Josie, but chicks can't always tell. I speak dude perfectly, and I'm going to translate for her to make sure she gets what she wants and deserves in life. She flips open the screen, toggles over to her dating site, and clicks on a profile picture. The guy looks to be about 40, and he smiles like a realtor. "This is Bob. Apparently he messaged me tonight." I rub my palms together. "All right. What does Bobby Boy have to say?" She opens the message on the site and reads aloud. "Hey there, Baker Girl. I like your pic. Your tote's cute. We have a lot in common. I like books, too." I stare her down, bring my hands to my armpits, and sway my shoulders back and forth like an ape. "Me like books. Books are good." "At least he didn't start with asking me what kind of sex I like," she says, like that makes his opening line less Neanderthalic. I shake my head. "Allow me to do the honors." I swipe him closed for her. "What else have we got?" She peers at the screen, pointing to a message from Fire Trev. "How about Trevor? He's a firefighter." I read the tagline on his profile. "Baby, can I light your fire?" I arch a brow. Swiped. She grabs my arm. "Is that any worse than you saying, 'The doctor is in'?" 1. I'm not on an online dating site, so I wouldn't be saying that. And 2. No, which is why if I ever said that on an online dating site, you should throat punch me. Her lips twitch mischievously. "With a creme brulee torch?" Consider it your throat-punching device of torture when I exceed the maximum acceptable level of douchery. "There are actually acceptable levels?" I shrug. "Look, you can't expunge douchiness completely. It's like a cockroach. It'll survive a nuclear explosion. It's a very tenacious quality in a man. I find it best to accept that there are levels of douchiness one can live with, usually manifesting as cockiness, confidence, or bravado." I narrow my eyes. "You gonna be okay with that harsh reality?" She nods, intense as a soldier. "Those seem an allowable standard." I tip my chin to the screen and inch closer to her. "What else have we got?" Grabbing a cranberry red pillow between us, she tosses it on the back of the couch. Interesting. She's made more room. She pats the vacated spot, so I move closer as she clicks on a new message. The profile pic is a too suave image of a dark-haired man in a sharp suit. That screams, I got my profile pic from a stock photo site. Probably. Let's see what he says. The message fills the screen as she reads. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Here's the first. Would you ever date a guy who likes to wear your panties? I snap my gaze to her. Is this shit for real? She laughs. Yes, sadly it is. This is ridiculous, I sneer. I'm this close to swiping when an evil idea lands in my brain. Can I reply? What are you going to say? Do you trust me? The look in her eyes says, duh. Yes, but I crack my knuckles. Allow me to take the wheel. She grabs my arm. You're not going to write anything crazy, are you? Nothing that won't amuse you. I hover my fingers above the keys, then type, speaking the words out loud. Sure, but only if he wears my panties on his head, to work. She clasps her hand over her mouth, laughing. I take that as a sign to keep this shit up. The next question from Captain Suave is, what is the most exciting type of intimate video for you to watch? Hell if I'm not eager to know what gets her off, but that's not the point. I write back to the suit dude. The kind your mother stars in. Josie laughs loudly. Then I read his next question. How often do you come every week? I turn to her, and even though I'm dying for her weekly orgasm count more than Suave in a suit can know, now isn't the time. I reply with, great question. I'd love to answer it, but maybe we could start the interview with some simpler questions. The last book you read, what kind of cereal you like? Do you wear socks? The guy must have just come online and seen her newest message first because his reply to that one is swift. Catch her in the rye. I don't like cereal. Tube socks. I slam the machine closed and give her a pointed look. Catcher in the Rye is high school required reading, and if that's the last book he read, God help us. Plus, tube socks are a deal breaker, and you can't date someone who doesn't like cereal. There's no excuse for that. She crosses her heart. I solemnly swear to uphold the love of cereal. She sets the laptop on the table. Okay, so we've clearly established tonight that there are lots of fish to wade through, that the love of certain breakfast foods is inviolate, and that a woman needs to allow for a teeny amount of douchery in her men, correct? I nod sharply. You are correct. I'm learning, she says, then tucks a strand of pink-streaked hair behind her ear, her silver bracelet sliding down her arm. But what about you? I frown in confusion. What about me? Why are you so against online dating? Is it because of Adele? What happened with her exactly? I've never known why it ended. I sigh. Adele. Things with her ended 2 years ago, before Africa. With her sharp wit and brilliant mind, Adele and I hit it off instantly as residents together, becoming fast friends. Then we became more. She was smart, outgoing, and had the best bedside manner. And by bedside manner, I do mean bedside manner. Redheaded and leggy and wildly sexual, Adele had seemed like the perfect woman for me. She also liked to experiment. Let's just say the leasing agent wasn't the first woman to invite me to a threesome, I tell Josie. She stares at me expectantly and makes a quick rolling gesture with her hand as if to say, tell me, tell me. She thought one of the nurses, a brunette named Simone, was quite hot, and she asked me if I'd consider a threesome. Honestly, that wasn't my thing. I'm a one-woman kind of guy. No interest in a threesome at all? I shake my head. Nope, don't want it, don't need it. Not my cup of tea or brandy or Jack Daniels. But she wanted to. It was her fantasy, and I was crazy about her. I wanted to give it to her because it was what she wanted. Josie leans closer. Was that hard, servicing two women at the same time? I scoff. Nope, because I didn't. Didn't do it? Didn't take care of them both. They took care of each other. I was kind of the third wheel. She furrows her brow. That's weird? I shrug. A little, maybe. So you split up because of a weird threesome? I shake my head. No. I don't care about one weird sexual encounter. I mean, we're all bound to have that, right? Sure. What bothered me was that Adele, my best friend at the time, went on to spend the next several months having an emotional affair with Simone. Josie's jaw drops. I don't know if it was more or less devastating than if she'd been physically cheating, too. All I know is when she broke up with me, she told me she was in love with Simone and had been emotionally involved with her since the threesome. Her jaw snaps shut as she whispers, "That is rough." Yeah, and it wasn't a secret around the hospital. Everyone knows each other's business, and some of the docs said, "Don't let it bother you. You don't have a pussy, so you never stood a chance." That was the way a few of my buds had tried to downplay the split. Fine, she likes women, and she figured it out with me. I'm man enough not to freak out and think I turned her gay. That's not the issue. But just because I didn't have the right equipment, I say, my eyes straying to my crotch, didn't make the breakup hurt less. Josie runs a hand down my arm. It's not about the equipment. It's not about whether you stood a chance with her. It's about this, your heart, she says, placing her palm on my chest. Her touch feels good, and all my instincts tell me to grab her hand and hold it tight to me, because I like the way it feels when her hands are on me. Big shock. Exactly. But there was this sense among our colleagues that it should only have hurt if she screwed someone who had a dick. Who cares? That's not the issue. The issue is, we were friends, then we were together, and then she fell in love with someone else and was involved with that person while she was with me. It doesn't hurt any less simply because I could never, I sketch air quotes, compete. And what sucked the most was that I missed her in my life. That's how I learned the hard way that taking friendships to another level only results in heartache. I'd miss you if you weren't in my life, Josie says softly. My muscles tighten with that fresh reminder to keep all thoughts of Josie on this level, the friendship one. Her eyes roam over me, settling on my shoulders. You're so tense, she says softly, then shifts her body, moving behind me, nudging me away from the back of the couch. And before I know it, she's rubbing my shoulders. It's totally unexpected to have Josie's hands on me. She's comforting me, even though I'm not hurt anymore. But still, she seems to want to, and holy hell is she ever talented at this. She digs her fingers into my shoulders, and it feels really fucking good. So good I groan. Jesus, Josie, you have great hands. It comes from kneading dough, she says, and I laugh, then lean back into her, resting against her chest as she rubs my shoulders. I'm a hedonist. I'm a cat. I'm a complete pleasure taker right now. But Josie's hands are magic, and I have no choice but to succumb to them. Your shoulders are tight, sweetie, she says, her breath soft, tickling my neck. Sweetie, baby. We've both used terms of endearment for each other tonight. What the hell is that about? But when her thumbs dig into my muscles, I don't think anymore. I shut off my mind and give in to the extraordinary feeling of her hands on me. I moan and murmur, feels so good. I can sense her shifting behind me, moving her face closer. Her lips are near my hair. Good. Let me make you feel better. She makes me feel worlds better, even though I didn't really feel bad. But I feel spectacular as she works my shoulders. It's better than good. It's good everywhere, including below the Mason-Dixon line, where there's a huge statue pointing out how much better than good this is. It's arousing. It's a turn-on. With my eyes closed and her hands massaging me, my mind floats away, picturing her sliding her hands down my chest, reaching for the bottom of my shirt, tugging it over my head. My dick hardens more as I imagine her return route, those soft, strong hands playing across my abs, traveling up my stomach to my pecs, exploring me. I let out a breath. It sounds like a turned-on groan, because I don't stop the fantasy there. As she touches me, I imagine her hands gliding into my hair, her lips brushing across my neck, her scent everywhere. And then I see myself doing the next logical thing, the only thing, flipping around, sliding her under me, pinning her wrists above her head, and fucking her. Even though I'm only her friend, even though I'm keeping it on the level, all signs in my head and body point to a different agenda. Josie Hammer turns me on, and that's a big fucking problem. Chapter 13. A few days later, I find a clear plastic bag from her bakery on the coffee table. There's an assortment of mixed nuts inside. Pecans, walnuts, and peanuts, too. Dangling from a yellow ribbon is a note card. Thanks again for coming to the rescue this past weekend. What would I do without a nut lover like you? I smile and save the card, then pop some nuts in my mouth on the way to work. The next few weeks at the hospital pass in a blur of gunshot wounds, chest pain, shower falls, drug overdoses, boiling water spills, and an apple where the sun doesn't shine. The man who became intimately acquainted with the fruit told me he fell on a basket of Granny Smith's while sweeping the floors. I like to keep them around, easily accessible. Apples are good for you, he'd said, while explaining away his predicament. In his case, the apple a day didn't keep the doctor away. There was also an afternoon shift when the paramedics rushed in an incredibly polite British man who had collided with a wooden post at a construction site. They seem to have acquired a splinter, he'd said, of the half-foot-long piece of wood in his ribs. Ouch. Today, we encountered a surprise baby. When I return home, I tell Josie the story as she slides a lasagna dish out of the oven to check on it. I lean against the doorframe of the tiny kitchen, savoring the aroma of her cooking. The girl was 18. She came in complaining of food poisoning. When we informed her she was pregnant and dilated to 10 centimeters, she told us she was going to sue us for defamation of character. Well, naturally. Being told you're pregnant by a doctor is complete and absolute grounds for a courtroom trial, I'm sure, she says, as she closes the oven door. 5 more minutes for this. Then she started pushing, and when the baby came out, her first words were, "It's not mine. It needs to go back to its mama. Send it back to its real mom." Josie frowns. "Aw, poor baby." I nod. "Yep." She tilts her head. Do you think she just didn't want to be pregnant and was trying to deny it, or was she mentally unstable? Hard to say. The girl's not the first one to come into the ER saying she didn't know she was pregnant. But if she doesn't want the kid, what happens to the baby? I shrug as I grab a grape from a glass bowl on the counter and pop it into my mouth. Don't know. That's for the hospital social worker to figure out. I wish there was something we could do for the baby, she says softly. It's going to be fine. The baby is healthy, I say, since that's really all I know. Worry is etched onto her features as her brow furrows. But how do you know it's going to be fine? Her question gives me pause, makes me think. I don't entirely know, but I trust that the appropriate people will help both of them. She sighs heavily and shakes her head. But for a second, just think about what happens next. What is life going to be like for either one of them? I shrug, half wishing I could give her the answer she wants, and half wishing she'd stop asking. I don't always like to contemplate what happens next to my patients. Next isn't always pretty. Next isn't always good. I do all I can in the exam room. I can't start marinating on the pieces of everyone's life that I have zero control over. She peers at the clock on the stove. I can't help it. I feel bad for both of them. I hold up my hands and surrender. She's going to be fine. She shoots me a skeptical stare. Who? The baby? The mother? I stare at her back. Both, I presume. Her voice escalates in a mix of sadness and irritation. You can't just presume that. I nod. Yes, I can. It's part of the job. She shakes her head and knits her brow. I don't get it. How can you separate everything so easily? How can you say she'll be fine when you don't actually know? I take a breath and call upon my best cool demeanor. Josie's getting emotional. She's becoming attached to patients that aren't even hers. I need to talk down the Florence Nightingale in her. Hey, I say calmly, setting a hand on her arm. We have people at the hospital who can help. We have a great social worker. We'll do everything we can. The only way I could assist her medically was to focus on the physical. Now there are others who will help her, okay? She draws a huge breath, like she's gulping up oxygen after being deprived. When she nods as if she's settled, I'm ready to write this off as done, but then she slides past me. "Excuse me," she mumbles, her voice hitching. Then she's off, and seconds later the bathroom door slams closed. "Fuck," I mutter. And I wait, and I wait, and I wait. When the timer beeps on the oven, I half figure that Josie's internal baker clock will ding and summon her from the bathroom. But after 60 seconds, she's still MIA, so I grab a pot holder, pull out the lasagna, and set it on a cooling rack. Staring at it for a minute, I decide on a game plan. I don't know what Josie's upset about, but I can only fix what I can fix. The rest of dinner. I hunt around for a bottle of wine, grab a Merlot, and unscrew the cork. When I find two glasses, I set them on the coffee table in the living room that doubles as our dining room table. I add cloth napkins, the only kind we use since Josie's taught me that paper ones are wasteful to the environment. When I return to the kitchen, I grab two sunshine yellow plates, then a spatula. I serve a chunk of lasagna for her, then one for me. As I set the plates on the table along with forks, she rounds the corner, a wad of tissue in her hands. "I'm so sorry," she says, her voice thin with tears. Her expression is soft now and apologetic. "I didn't mean to push so hard about a patient of yours." "Don't think twice about it." "But are you okay?" I step closer to her.
"It's not you. I just..."
She swipes at her cheeks with the tissues.
"I just had a long day, and we ran out of 7-layer bars earlier than we'd advertised for the Tuesday special, and this customer came in and threw a complete fit that we were out and said she was going to..."
She stops to adopt a bitchy voice.
"Rip us a new one on Yelp. And I know it's a little thing in the scheme of all the big things, but I've worked so hard to build a good business after I took over for my mom, and sometimes all it takes is one bad review to shred you. So I've been waiting all day for the other shoe to drop, and on top of that, my friend Lily's boyfriend is acting like a total dick, and I feel bad for her because she still likes him. But he's so not worth her time, and I want her to realize it. And so I was making lasagna to try to get my mind off it all."
Her words are tumbling out like she's in a confessional. "And then you come home, and you're so good at separating everything, and I just can't do that. I'm terrible at that." Another tear slips down her cheek. I take a tissue and wipe it away. "You don't have to deal with things the way I deal with things. You're you, and you should deal with them as you need to." She takes a deep breath and nods.
"I wish I could just shut things off like you can."
"It's a blessing and a curse," I joke.
"It's a gift," she says emphatically.
"Well, look, I have to separate myself to some degree. I can't react to things the way a patient would, because if I did, then I wouldn't be very good at taking care of them, right?" She nods as I wrap an arm around her and guide her to the couch.
"I'm sorry I gave you a hard time," she whispers.
I shake my head. "Ha, that was hardly a hard time. And if you do decide to give me a hard time, I can handle it." I puff out my chest and hit it. "Steel, baby. I'm steel. I can take it." She smiles, a rueful little grin. "But look, don't get frustrated that emotions spill over for you. It's who you are, and it's part of what makes you..." I pause, looking for the right words. "One of the most amazing people I know." She swats my shoulder.
"Oh, stop."
"Hey, you are," I say. Then I take a beat and cork up my lips. "Honestly, though, I thought you were just having your period."
"You ass," she says.
"I totally am an ass, but this ass served dinner." I gesture to the meal. "Dine with me?"
"Why, I thought you'd never ask."
As we dig into the lasagna, my belly thanks her. I point with my fork to the plate. "This is the best thing I've ever tasted."
"You say that about everything I make."
"And I mean it about everything you make."
"Thank you," she says with a smile.
"Oh, and in case you were wondering, my period was last week and you didn't even notice." "Damn, you're stealthy in the hormonal reaction department." She nudges her shoulder into mine.
Sorry again. Do you forgive me?
I meet her eyes, and for a second I'm tempted to run my hand through her hair, to brush my lips to hers, to kiss her softly, to reassure her that we're all good. Then I snap out of it. Even so, I wish I could tell her the truth, that it's getting harder for me to pull off this trick, that she challenges my ability to compartmentalize like no one and nothing ever has. All my instincts tell me to kiss her, to touch her, to take her to bed. But man can't let instincts rule him. Mind over man, I remind myself. The good news is when she checks Yelp again that night, her bakery still has a sterling average. I tell her the woman was all talk. When she kisses me goodnight on the cheek, I clench my fists as a reminder to keep it all in check. As she turns on her heel and walks into her bedroom, my eyes don't stray from her, and that's the problem. It's become all too clear that these separate drawers are getting messier every day. I'm not sure how to keep them closed, but I vow to try. Chapter 14. Over the next few days, I recommit to my mission. My focus is on building and sustaining the friendship wing of the House of Josie and Chase, not the Lust Corridor. Mostly, I succeed. I monitor Yelp and gleefully report that the troll never trolled. I pick up the tissue she likes when she runs low. And I offer my taste buds to be the guinea pig for her grapefruit macaroon. She was right. It's amazing. But all it takes is one moment for me to relapse. She's in her bedroom, and the hallway is steamy, since she takes showers the temperature of the surface of Mercury. It's sauna level as I head into the bathroom to brush my teeth before I leave for an early morning bike ride with Max. When I finish, she calls out to me. Hey, Chase, are you still in the bathroom? I forgot to put my body lotion on while I was in there. Which kind? I'll bring it to you. The black cherry one, she shouts. Top shelf on the wooden cabinet. Oh, that's another thing about living with a woman. They commandeer all available bathroom real estate. My sister Mia was like this too, so I learned as a teenager how to survive with very little space. Here with Josie, I've managed to claim squatter's rights to a corner of the medicine chest where my deodorant and shaving cream live. The rest? She's encroached on all of it. I grab the lotion, putting my cherry-scented fantasy of dragging my tongue between the heavenly valley of her breasts into a chaste drawer, the same one where I keep thoughts of kittens, puppies, and baby ducks. Proximity to the cuteness will rub off and turn the naughty to wholesome, right? Her bedroom door is open, but I knock anyway. Come in, she says, and when I open the door all the way, I'm not ready to take this test. No fucking way can I pass it. Did you need a towel to go with the dish towel you're using? I ask, because humor production is the only way I can deal with the fact that she has the world's tiniest towel cinched around her tits. I'm not strong enough. I'm going to wave the white flag any second. Oh, she says, glancing down as she tugs upward on the material. Laundry day. The only towel left was this one. I think it might be a hand towel. Safe bet, I say, as she tries to adjust the blue material covering her prized possessions and hitting her upper thigh on the other end. As she does, she kills all my good work of the last few days because she winds up revealing even more of that perfect, creamy flesh. The swell of her breasts is unveiled. My mouth waters. I drool. I foam. I fall to the floor in a heap of nothing but hormones and testosterone unleashed. Scientists for years will study me as an example of death by hotness overexposure. She stares at me with her palm out. I blink, somehow reconnecting my mouth to the last few remaining brain cells that haven't been obliterated. Yeah. What? I shake my head. Did you say something? She laughs. The lotion, may I have it? Oh, right, I say, staring at my hand like I just discovered it's attached to my body. Huh. I'm not actually dead. I didn't fall to the ground. I survived the overdose, and I'm alive and gawking. I hand the bottle to her. Here you go. With every ounce of resolve in me, I leave, grab my bike from the basement, and ride downtown to meet Max. Time with my brother is the best boner killer in the world. Just to be safe, I add my sister to the mix when the ride ends, calling Mia as I lock up my bicycle in the basement at my building. "Have you saved the world yet?" I ask when she answers. My sister has a great laugh, warm and inviting. Goes perfectly with her dry sense of humor. "Just some more bunnies," she says. Mia's company specializes in cruelty-free makeup and beauty products, and it's the culmination of her heart's desire since she was a kid, to save all the animals. We catch up briefly, then she has to leave to head to work. The call with her does the trick, though, and keeps my mind off Josie's body, but only for a few days. On Friday night, Josie strolls through the living room, her heels clicking on the floor. I look up from the book I'm reading on my phone. Tonight, she wears a dress, a dark pink one that looks, wow, just utterly smoking hot. It hugs her hips and snuggles her breasts and shows off her strong, soccer-toned legs. I blink a few times, maybe 10, maybe 100. "Who's the lucky guy?" I ask in my best, "just your guy friend looking out for you" voice. "I have a date with Paul tonight. He's the software project manager you picked out from the site. The only one you thought sounded normal, remember?" The rare find who used proper grammar and possessed the ability to ask questions about something other than lingerie and blowjobs, I say, since I figured eventually I had to give the okay to one of them, and he was the safest bet. "You're awfully fancy, though." She shrugs as if it's no big deal. "I had the dress and I haven't had the chance to wear it yet. I thought it'd be fun. I don't get to dress up for work." Inside, I'm thinking she could dress up for me, like when we go to Bed Bath & Beyond, or grocery shopping, or even to pick up toilet paper. Maybe that's selfish, but so it goes. "Well, he is a lucky son of a bitch to see you in that dress." She fiddles with a necklace. "I can't get this clasp. Can you help? My fingers are still slippery from putting on lotion." I stand, brush my hands over my jeans, and step closer to her. She gathers up her hair, lifting it against the back of her head, exposing her neck. My throat goes dry. My skin prickles with desire. Her long, lovely neck looks spectacular. Prime real estate for kissing. But I can't go there, so I take hold of the ends of the necklace, and though I toy with the idea of taking longer than necessary, I opt for being a gentleman. I close the keyhole quickly. As much as I might want to linger here all night, I can't give myself away. "There," I say, and as she lowers her hair, I hope to hell Paul won't be the one unhooking that clasp tonight. As soon as that awful notion touches down, I ball my hands into fists and I try to keep this jealousy at bay. I hope she hates the guy, because there's no way any man could be with her tonight and do anything but fall head over heels. I leave shortly after she does. Lest I stay home like a dateless schmuck on a Friday night, I asked out a blonde radiologist named Trish, who likes to play fantasy baseball. I'm a big Yankees fan myself, so that gives us great conversation beyond the shop talk. At a sports bar nearby, we nurse beers and watch a game on the big screen, debating the best pitchers in baseball history. It's fine as far as dates go, but when it's time for that inevitable will-we-won't-we moment, I don't feel it, so I say goodbye to her. As I wander through the streets of Murray Hill, listening to an audiobook about physics and everyday life while sidestepping the already inebriated packs of New Yorkers, I find that I'm looking forward to talking to Josie, way more than I'd wanted to go on a date, and hoping too that Paul was a bust. When I open the door, the scent of 7-layer bars greets me. That must mean her date ended early too, which means I'm a happy camper. I turn into the kitchen. She pulls a tray from the oven and smiles. She still wears the date outfit, but the heels are gone. She's adorable in her fancy dress and bare feet. "Date ended early?" She nods. "When he invited me to see his gerbil, I thought it was time to go." "That doesn't entice you." She shakes her head. "Had he said ferret, perhaps? Alas, with gerbil, I'm a firm no." Was it in his pants or a cage? We didn't get far enough to find out. I said, thanks, I need to water the plants, and I got the hell out of Dodge. I curl up the side of my mouth. Guess that explains why Trish didn't invite me home either. I tried the hamster line on her. She smacks me with a panda potholder. I suppose I should have known better, though. Earlier in the date, he made a ton of masturbation comments. I lean against the kitchen counter. And that concerns you, since you never do that, right? As she slides the spatula under the dessert, she gives me a side-eye stare. Exactly, Chase. I never rub one out. Never. She waves a hand over her crotch. Total hands-free zone. I take her comment seriously. Fine. You use toys. I get it. What kind? I ask, because I can't help myself. She rolls her eyes. Not telling you. I harumph and grab for a bar from the pan. She swats me with the spatula. Ouch, I say, yanking back my hand. That didn't hurt, and you should know better than to steal my dessert before it's ready. You should know better than to hit my hands. I hold both up in the air. With a quickness I don't see coming, she whacks me again with her utensil, this time on the other hand. That's it. I charge her, tickling her waist. Tell me what toys and I'll stop. She cracks up and flails her arms, knocking me with elbows and hands and the spatula too, until I give in to her cries for mercy. I stare at her in our tiny sliver of a kitchen. Waiting. You really want to know? I nod eagerly. I'm playing with fire, but I can't resist. The desire to know outweighs all else. She works the spatula under the bars again, shaking her head. I can't believe we're having this conversation. I hold out my hands. Come on. We talk about all sorts of stuff. Then an idea strikes me. I open the kitchen cupboard, grab a bottle of Patron, and hold it up. This will help all that shyness. She stares at me with narrowed eyes. I'm not shy at all. I grab two shot glasses and pour. Better safe than sorry, Miss Not Shy at All. I hand her one and she takes it. Then I raise my glass and the drink goes down the hatch with a burn. She follows suit, swallowing it quickly, then sets her glass down. I do the same. I rub my palms together. Toy confessional time. What have you got? She arches an eyebrow. Really? You really want to know? I narrow my eyes. What part of your roommate being a dirty bastard do you not understand? Obviously I want to know. I'm a guy. This is like Christmas morning. But if this helps... I pour two more shots, then slide her glass over to her. Once more, we down them. She draws a deep breath. Since you asked, I have a few toys. A little silver bullet, a bigger dolphin, and I have a waterproof finger vibrator. And the temperature in me shoots through the roof. I tug at the neck of my shirt. For the shower? I croak out. Seeing as we don't have a bathtub, yes, it would have to be for the shower. You masturbate in the shower? I ask, and the visual is so fucking clear in my mind. Josie under a hot stream of water that slopes off her breasts, a finger vibrator working between her thighs. She nods as she slides the bars onto a cooling rack. Just then I remember she promised me 7-layer bars when she freaked out the other night. And she delivered. Fuck, I think she might be perfect, what with her desserts and her shower hobby. Why do you ask? She asks in a hyper-innocent voice. Then she clasps her fingers over her mouth. Are you busy spanking the monkey in your bed while I'm sleeping? I point my thumb at myself. Shower here too, baby. She arches an eyebrow. I guess the shower's like a good priest. It keeps both our secrets. She gestures to the bars. As soon as they cool off, you can have one. Now tell me, do you clean the shower when you're done? She winks, grabs the tequila and the shot glasses, and heads to the couch. I follow, like the dog that I am, tongue hanging and panting, just waiting for a crumb to fall. I'm the neat one, remember? I pat the back of the couch. But I bet you don't only do it yourself in the shower. You probably did it on the couch before I moved in. This is a diddle couch, right? Just admit it. Well, she twirls a strand of hair in her fingers and takes her time doling out her answer. I can't exactly watch porn in the shower. I groan at her admission. The images whip fast and furious in my brain. This is where you watch porn and get off? She laughs and grabs the bottle, pouring another round. She thrusts a glass at me, and this time we clink. She wiggles her eyebrows. Yes, I've been known to watch porn from time to time. Bringing the glass to her lips, she knocks it back. I match her shot for shot, and the liquor must be loosening both our tongues. We've always been pretty open, but this conversation is slip-sliding quite nicely in a whole new direction. Just from time to time, I ask. She shrugs naughtily. A little, I've got a secret look in her eyes. It's okay, tell the doctor. Masturbation is normal. Don't be ashamed. I wrap her in a huge hug, as if I'm comforting her. Not because I'm trying to touch her. When we separate, I clear my throat. So, seriously, what kind of intimate videos do you like? I ask, adopting an interviewer's tone, as if I'm the dude on the site who asked that question. Only, it was inappropriate from him. From me, the question is thoroughly acceptable, since it's all in the name of scientific research. You want to know? She asks, her eyes wide as she holds my gaze. God, yes, so much. I'm dying to know what turns you on. Of course I want to know what floats Josie's boat on the diddle couch. She tosses a pillow at me. I catch it. Fine. Pleasure den. Can we call it your pleasure den of personal delights? Only if I can call the shower your wax zone. I let my jaw fall open in a shocked expression. Fine, call it the wax zone. Just answer the question. Okay, she says, taking a breath and squaring her shoulders. I like male-male porn. I'm taken aback for a moment. You do? I do, she says with a nod, owning it. Does that bother you? You seem surprised. I was surprised, but it doesn't bother me. To each your own. Your turn, she says, lifting her chin. What do you like? The answer is easy. I like videos of girls getting themselves off. Her eyes widen, and I see a hint of desire in them. Yeah? I nod. Why? She asks, her voice soft but eager. Curiosity drips from her tone. I shift, as if that'll relieve the pressure in my jeans. But it doesn't. My dick is trying to hit a new record for hardness right now, as if it's competing in the erection Olympics. But I can't fault my dick. It's impossible to be anything but turned on during this conversation. The tequila is helping my Honest Abe attitude this evening. Or maybe just living in close proximity to her is. For some reason, I don't feel like holding back tonight. Because there's something about the image of a woman all alone, so turned on she needs to take care of business herself. No one else has to do a thing for her. She's just wildly aroused from her mind, her imagination. She closes her eyes, her hand drifts down. She creates a fantasy in her head. Josie draws a sharp breath. That is hot, she whispers, and her voice sounds different, aroused. I stretch my arm across the back of the couch and paint with more words, loving this whole new direction of tonight's conversation. I love seeing how wet she gets before she even takes off her panties. That really fucking turns me on. I meet her eyes, and the green irises shine with unmistakable desire. I'm not hiding mine, either. Whether it's us momentarily lusting for each other or just getting aroused by the conversation, I don't know. I don't care, either. I can't separate anything right now. I'm hard, and I bet she's wet. It's fun being wet, she says in a husky, smoky tone that seeps into my bones like a shot of pure liquid lust. I can see why you'd like watching that. And then it turns me the fuck on to watch a gorgeous woman spread her legs, touch herself, and then make herself come. She blinks, then blows out a long stream of air and waves her hand in front of her face. Wow, those 7-layer bars baked on high in the oven. It is hot in here. I tap her arm. Her breath hitches. Your turn. Why do you like guy on guy? Her answer comes swiftly. Because I like guys? Yeah, I ask, remembering her comment about types. But why that kind specifically? She brushes a strand of hair behind her ear and draws a deep breath. Maybe she's seeking courage, or maybe the liquid has already given it to her because her answer is bold and hot. I like what makes men men, and seeing two of them together turns me on even more. Look, I'm totally hetero, but that's why I like it, she says, and she reaches out a hand to my hair. I like everything that makes a man, the hair. She drags her hand through mine, and my eyes float closed. I savor her touch and the way desire shoots through my body from that simple act of her touching my hair. I like a masculine jawline, she says. She drags her thumb across mine, and lust curls like hot flames inside me. I open my eyes and swallow harshly. I don't say a word. I don't have to. She's crafting a soliloquy to the male form, and I'm her muse right now. I love stubble, she continues, as she touches my face, demonstrating all her likes. Then her hand drifts to my arm. And strong arms and muscles. Her hand darts to my belly. Her eyes twinkle with mischief. She drops her voice to a sexy whisper. I love a little happy trail, too. And the fire goes wild. It torches my blood. It fucking consumes me. I'm not sure I'll ever cool off. That's why I like watching two guys, she finishes, as if she's summing up an answer to an exam question. Men just turn me on, but I don't want to be in a threesome. What do you want? She juts up her shoulder. One guy who wants me the way I want him. Fuck this roommate situation. Fuck New York City housing. Fuck the horrors of finding four walls. I want to be that guy so badly. You should be worshipped. You deserve it, I say, my voice thick with lust I can't hide. You're perfect. Her lips part and soft words fall from them. So are you. Here we are on the diddle couch, talking about what turns us on. I don't know how I ever thought I could cordon off sex from friendship and lust from emotion, but with Josie staring at me with heat in her green eyes, I have to exercise every ounce of my self-control. Fortunately, she stands up and saves me from me. She smacks her forehead. Totally forgot. I need to wash my hair. She nods. I think I got some 7-layer bar in it. Yeah, you should wash the 7 layers from your hair. She turns the corner and heads to the bathroom. This time I know she's not retreating. She's not crying. She's not sad. She's turned on. Chapter 15. A minute later, the water cranks on, the beat of the shower stream pounding against the tile. I close my eyes, my breath already coming hard, and I picture her naked. In my fantasy, I stand there watching her. Her hands slide over her full breasts, then slip between her legs. She doesn't even need her toy right now, she's so worked up. And so the fuck am I? My dick is going to punish me if I don't deal with these epic levels of arousal right now. Fuck it. I can't stand this anymore. I've got to do something about this roommate situation. She's safely in the shower, and I'm safely in the living room. I unzip my jeans, slide my hand into my boxers, and take my cock in my fist. As the shower becomes my soundtrack, I stroke my dick, long, lingering strokes from the base to the tip. I run my other hand over my balls, which feel so fucking heavy. With lust for her, with absolutely inappropriate desire for my roommate, my good friend, and my best friend's sister. But what's a man to do? Mere feet away from me, the woman of my dirty dreams is naked and playing with herself. That's my greatest fantasy. Josie is so turned on right now, she had to take care of business. God help me. I have no choice. Fuck, I mutter, because her pussy must be so slick and wet right now. so goddamn slippery. I grip harder, sliding a bead of liquid over the head of my dick, then down the shaft. It eases my solo flight. There's no time for build-up, no time to let this one last. I've got one mission, and I'm on a fast track, headed for some much-needed relief. She's probably nearly there herself, leaning against the shower wall under the stream, that lucky fucking water sliding all over her body. With that glorious vision in my mind, I sink deeper into the couch and stroke. Longer, faster, rougher strokes. My fist curls tighter as I grip my dick and imagine the scene nearby. Her fingers fly. She doesn't take her time at all. She grabs her finger vibe, slides it on, and rubs her throbbing clit in a frenzy. Because she's desperate, just like me. She's hungry for an orgasm. I hiss out of breath. I bet waves of pleasure are rolling down her body as her hair grows damp, as her skin heats up, as she rubs that magical device over her aching clit. The things I could do to help her. Jerking harder, panting faster, I imagine walking into the bathroom right now, stripping off my clothes and getting under the water. Taking that finger toy and working it on her. Letting her body melt against mine as I get her off, as she begs me to give it to her. Chase, it feels so good. Chase, I'm dying for you. I'm begging you to make me come. My dick is iron now, and my breath tumbles out in harsh pants as I jack harder and cycle through all the ways I'd make her sore. I'd take over for that vibrator and stroke her sweet clit while I fucked her with my fingers. She'd shatter in my arms. Tension winds up in my legs, and my quads tighten as I imagine getting her off again, this time with my mouth, feeling her go wild under my tongue. And then I'd push her hands to the tile, slide into that hot, sweet pussy and play with her magnificent tits as I fucked her until she came again. Like I'm about to. Holy fuck, I'm about to come so fucking hard because I want that. I want to be the one who turns her inside out with pleasure. I want to be the man she wants fiercely. I'm dying to be the one she gets off to.